Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nonprofit U, a forum where nonprofit stakeholders can share lessons learned and discuss the latest developments in the industry. My name is Valerie Leonard, your host. I'm a consultant to nonprofits, and I specialize in community and organizational development. I work with nonprofit organizations to help them make a stronger impact for their clients and communities. You can find Nonprofit U on Facebook and Twitter, and I encourage you to follow us and to comment early and often using the hashtags NonprofitU or CCCSI. You can also leave comments on blogtalkradio.com/nonprofit_U. The chat room is open, and you can post comments and questions. In order to use the chat room, you must open a listener-only account, and you can find a link to open that account on the page for this episode. You can also email me questions at consulting@valeriefleonard.com, and we'll be taking questions by phone and from our chat room at about the 20-minute mark or so. And the call-in number is 347-884-8121. Today's topic is using social innovation to drive community revitalization. We'll talk about the similarities and the differences between social innovation and social entrepreneurship and get an overview of the work that the Cook County Commission on Social Innovation is doing to actually leverage public and private investment to drive social change. Again, we encourage you to call in with questions at about the 20-minute mark, and you can start posting in the chat room and emailing questions now. Again, my email address is consulting@valeriefleonard.com. If you want to participate in a live chat, you must open an account, and the link, again, is found on the episode page. You just copy and paste that into your browser. The call-in number is 347-884-8121. I encourage nonprofit and community development professionals, as well as those who live in TIF districts or changing communities, to call in and share your stories and your strategies. Today's guest is attorney Mark J. Lane. Mark is a nationally recognized business and tax attorney and financial advisor, and he practices law at the law offices of Mark J. Lane, PC in Chicago. By appointment of then-Governor Pat Quinn, he chaired the state's Task Force on Social Innovation, Entrepreneurship, and Enterprise, and by appointment of Cook County Commissioner Jesus Chuy Garcia, he now serves as the vice chairman of the Cook County Commission on Social Innovation. He is also the chairman of the Chicago chapter of the Social Enterprise Alliance. He's an innovator in helping corporations, social enterprises, foundations, investors, lenders, and philanthropists leverage capital to maximize financial results while driving positive and social change. Mark has taught both entrepreneurial finance and social enterprise at Northwestern University School of Law. So I want to thank you for joining us today, Mark. And before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about the Cook County Commission on Social Innovation and the kinds of impact you'd like to see over the next few years?
Well, Valerie, it's a delight to be with you, and thanks so much for your invitation, and thanks to you also for serving on the Cook County Commission of Social Innovation. The predicate here is that too many people are living on the outskirts of hope in Cook County, and the economic challenges and social problems they face are tougher than ever. At the same time, the social sector is under enormous stress. Nonprofits can't any longer count on government contracts and grants, and charitable resources are inadequate to fund the deepening problems too many face. So what the Cook County Commission on Social Innovation is going to be doing is contributing to the development of an evolving impact ecosystem, and it really looks at the Cook County Board and the departments and agencies of the county in a new and expanded way, as a convener, as a catalyst, as a collaborator, and as a disruptive agent of change. So the commission's job is to incubate actionable, data-driven social policy recommendations for the county board's consideration. Some of them are socially impactful in the short term, others likely to be only over the long term. But in doing so, the commission will tap into all of the county's resources and transparently and accountably to the public, make sure that everything is fair game in terms of the county's assets, resources, and people to help drive positive social change.
I love the word action, keyword action. So along those lines, can you share with us the definitions of social innovation versus social entrepreneurship? How are they similar? How are they different? You know, because we tend to sometimes use those terms interchangeably.
Yeah, well, social innovation, let me break that out into its two constituents. Social, of course, is dealing with problems that human beings face and how best to address those problems. And so when we're looking at the many faces of poverty, whether it's in unemployment or dysfunctional families or communities or public health, public education, those are the sorts of issues and problems that would be tackled when we're talking about social issues. And then innovation, of course, has to do with both risk-taking and creation and testing and development of new ideas. So when we talk about social innovation, we may be talking about addressing social problems, often the most intractable of social problems, within governments or even within companies. When we talk about social enterprises, we're talking about businesses that themselves are pursuing market-driven approaches to address social problems. So businesses are created that, but for the commitments to address a social problem, the business would not have been established. So often we may be talking today about nonprofits that develop business strategies that allow them to diversify their sources of revenue, but at the same time drive mission. We may be talking about for-profits, social purpose businesses that are created for the very purpose of solving a social problem or addressing a social need. We may be talking about hybrids where nonprofits and for-profits come together and each based upon its specific culture and funding opportunities can contribute to working with the community at large and helping address the problems that we face.
Okay, so what are some of the ways you envision using social innovation and social entrepreneurship to actually inform the work of the Cook County Commission on Social Innovation?
Well, our process really is to tap into expertise, not only from the county, but from around the country and around the world, looking at models that are working elsewhere and having testimony about such models and seeing to what extent they might fit into our landscape. Whether they might be tweaked to add value here socially and financially. We have a lot of different initiatives on the drawing board at various stages of progress. And in each case, we're thinking that we're going to really not only be able to come up with ideas that can be implemented, that are in fact actionable, that will drive social change, and the commission as a whole, we hope, will become a model for government agencies around the country and perhaps beyond.
Oh, great. Okay, I want to remind our listening audience that you're listening to Nonprofit U, and we're speaking with attorney Mark J. Lane. He's the vice chairman of the Cook County Commission on Social Innovation. We'll be taking questions from our listening audience and chat room at about the 20-minute mark, and the call-in number is 347-884-8121. Again, that number is 347-884-8121. Okay, so the Cook County Commission on Social Innovation recently passed a resolution to conduct a feasibility study on the Crossrail Chicago project. Can you summarize the resolution for our listening audience and then tell us a little bit about how this came about? Or you might want to do it in the reverse, whatever.
Yes. Among the experts that we invited to testify before the commission was Rick Harnish. Rick is the executive director of the Midwest High Speed Rail Association. And the High Speed Rail Association, itself a nonprofit, has been pushing hard to expand rail capabilities, intending ultimately to connect the Chicago megalopolis with the St. Louis megalopolis, really to encourage economic development, job creation, and the like. Along the way, the commission had an opportunity to chat with Rick and others associated with this particular project, and I have been very concerned about food deserts throughout areas of the county where people are unable to gain immediate access to healthy foods. But we now are focusing equally on the transportation deserts, where people in certain parts of the county are unable to get public transportation that will take them to jobs or to take them to doctor's appointments or other necessities of life. And consequently, it has a significant negative externalities where if people can't work, of course, there's impact on their families, their communities. So this notion of really bringing rail more broadly throughout the county is of significant interest so as to unite the county's business centers to housing centers. And we have disconnected populations. So in as much as there has been recently a Cook County long-range transportation plan that was forecasting that we would see improved and expanded passenger rail service in order to maintain the county's economic vitality and to allow for increased growth and prosperity. The County Commission on Social Innovation, at its last meeting, passed a resolution to encourage the Cook County Board of Commissioners to commission a feasibility study of the Metra Electric to be conducted by the Cook County Department of Transportation and Highways. And beyond that, our goal is really for the study to look at all parts of the county and to see how transportation services might be coordinated and integrated and possibly expanded in a way that we are all linked. And when we see PACE and Metrorail and the RTA, Chicago Transit Authority, and the Department of Transportation, all of those agencies working in concert with the shared objective of delivering transportation solutions to everybody in the county, then it seems to me we will have a victory that we can claim.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So one of the purposes of the Cook County Commission on Social Innovation is to actually strengthen the capacity of the inner city and the Southland and generally the Cook County as a whole to work cooperatively with relevant stakeholders to create, scale, and sustain innovative social programs. And I realize that we're still very early in the game, so to speak, because you know, this work started just this summer, really, in earnest. But can you share an update on the ways the commission is approaching capacity building?
Well, I think I can identify two early successes, in fact, along those lines. One is that in concert with the Chicago chapter of Social Enterprise Alliance, the commission is hosting a series of capacity building workshops for nonprofit leaders. We're calling these sessions the Social Enterprise Experience. And in each case, we're going to have a speaker talking about kind of the business enterprise model for social enterprise. And in addition, we'll be having a conversation about the legal and financial aspects of nonprofits, looking at their core competencies, their underutilized assets, and determining what kinds of businesses they themselves as nonprofits can create to diversify sources of revenue, become more financially sustainable. And we see this as an effort that really scales through leverage of nonprofits throughout the county over the course of the next year. We've already done the first one, and Valerie, I know you're well aware of it because you happen to have been awarded the Social Innovator Award at our very first session in North Lawndale at the Sankofa House, and your enormous contributions to the social sector were acknowledged, and thank you for that. But we'll be looking to have two of these perhaps as early as January and then continue out throughout the year, having them all over the county looking at kind of the legal design and structure for social enterprises, benefit corporations, the low profit limited liability company, the impact investment opportunities for nonprofits, as well as what are the models out there by which nonprofits can create or partner with social enterprises in a way that really fosters greater sustainability. So as to the first one, I spoke on the legal and financial elements, and Commissioner Garcia, who is really has spearheaded this entire effort as chair of the Cook County Commission on Social Innovation, spoke, as did Mark Mulroe, who is associated with a significant social enterprise in his own right, and that is a Safe Haven. And he talked about kind of the business enterprise and how nonprofits can establish social enterprises and what they look like and how they operate and what their finance and accounting might look like. And we're thinking this is a really very efficient and effective way to help inform nonprofit leaders about creative opportunities that they have to achieve greater sustainability for their organizations and be less dependent on government grants, government contracts, mm-hmm. as well as philanthropy. So that's kind of one early victory, because we've already had our first one, and we've now committed to do a series of them throughout the year. The second victory I'm going to claim is a highly unusual and important one. And I've had over the last several months a series of conversations with Daniel Dearmeyer, who is the provost of the University of Chicago. Dr. Dearmeyer has responsibility for all of the academic and research programs across the university, and he also oversees mm-hmm. the university's budget, so he's a key person. He is concurrently a professor at the Harris School of Public Policy, where he used to be the dean, and he's a member of the board of the University of Chicago Medical Center, the board of governors for Argonne National Laboratory, and the board of trustees of NORC, which is the university's independent research institution. Well, as a consequence of our conversations, it became apparent to me that the university is an extraordinary corporate citizen in a variety of ways. It's an educator, mm-hmm. of course. It's an employer, I think the largest employer on the South Side. It's a researcher. It's an innovator. It's an investor. It's an entrepreneur. But the piece that has been missing heretofore is an organized method of tapping into the intellectual firepower of the university. So Daniel Dearmeyer, at our last meeting of the commission, has now committed to partner with the Cook County Commission on Social Innovation and develop mm-hmm. a systematic approach where the university's faculty and researchers are going to be coming together in a systematic way, looking from an interdisciplinary perspective at social problems within the county, and they're now mm-hmm. going to make available to us that intellectual capital, and they're going to do that with us and hopefully beyond us. And now for the very first time, the university is recognizing its core competency in terms of that capability to drive positive social change. So I think the partnership between the University of Chicago writ large and the Cook County Commission on Social Innovation is itself extraordinary, unique, and I think will be a model for other universities around the country and probably around the world. So I would think those are two very significant achievements in the early go of the commission.
You know, as I listen to you talk about that, I could just picture a dashboard within about a year or so, just looking at the impact, financial leverage that you've already been able to attract. You know, as you were talking, I'm thinking, you know, we have, you know, as a commission, have leveraged several millions of dollars already, it sounds like, you know, when we look at the feasibility study, assuming that goes through, assuming that the resources from the University of Chicago go through, and then there are several other projects in the work. You know, so I'm just amazed at the leverage that I'm hearing is being created already.
Yeah, and I think that it's about leverage, and I think it's also about scale, because, you know, it's often been remarked that there are lots of people that do the things that are easy, so why don't we take on the things that are hard? And this obviously is very hard. The county of Cook is the second largest county in the United States, with all kinds of resources and all kinds of opportunities, but all kinds of problems too. And so let's take these on in a systematic, cohesive way, bringing to bear the talents that we can find throughout the county, the institutions, the anchor institutions and others from academia, from nonprofit, from government, from traditional corporations, from the consulting professions and otherwise, and let's all come together and find solutions that really are going to make an enormous difference. And that way our time will have been well invested and the results will be conspicuous and apparent, and we can then build on those successes.
Yes, yes, yes. So it's 20 minutes into our call, and I see that we have a caller. He may or may, or she may or may not be willing to make a comment or question. I will check and see if our caller has a comment or a question, and if not, then you and I will continue to talk. Just one moment, please. Hi, caller, you're at 312-957-6070. Did you have a question or comment? I am assuming with no answer that there is no question or comment, that the person is just listening. So I thank you so much for tuning in. And back to you, Mark. You talked about some of your guests, but I know from time to time you have folks come to the meetings and provide testimony about social innovation and entrepreneurship and how they can accelerate the progress on social issues, especially when we talk about working cross-sector and advancing social and economic development goals. Can you share a few more speakers, share some of the highlights from their talks and give us a sampling?
I'll be delighted to, Valerie. Thanks for asking. We've had witnesses really of two different kinds. One category are those folks who are going to help the commissioners orchestrate their work and know how to lead and how to collaborate with internal and external stakeholders. And then the second category of witnesses are people who have very specific actionable recommendations, and they are themselves experts can inform the work of the commission. So as to the first category, by way of example, we've had Jeff Spahn, who's the president of an organization called Leading Leaders, and he came in and talked to the commissioners about the way in which change happens and change is managed and change is catalyzed. And he makes the observation that you don't have leaders and followers, you have all leaders, and those leaders really inform one another's ideas, and it becomes really a group of equals. He's going to come back in about a month and have a separate meeting where he's going to put on a workshop of about an hour and a half for the benefit of the commission to dig deeper into his research and his analysis. He is one of the world-class leaders on leading. And so that was an exceptionally interesting conversation, and we look forward to that continuing. We also had Jer Boucher, who is one of the founders of Social Enterprise Alliance, and he has taught social enterprise at Carnegie Mellon and universities really all over the country, and he's spoken all over the world. He currently is the executive director of an organization called Social Entrepreneurs Institute, and he talked to us about the way in which nonprofits move from a model of dependency to a model of sustainability, and then ultimately to a model of self-sufficiency, where its earned revenue is sufficient to drive it. And his expertise was very important, I think, to give the commissioners a deeper understanding of what social enterprise is and how it works and how it's important in terms of community revitalization and community development. So those are a couple of examples of folks from the first category. I'll give you two examples from the second category, people who actually had actionable policy recommendations. Well, we brought in two PhDs who together own a biotech company called Firmatech, and they were talking about historically their involvement at the Illinois Medical District, which had been a very active incubator for biotech companies. And for a variety of reasons, the Illinois Medical District shifted direction and no longer provides that support for biotech companies. Well, we were looking at the new strategic plan of the Illinois Medical District, and it looked very carefully at infrastructural issues, concentrations of traffic, for example, congestion, for example. But we're working with the Illinois Medical District. They've already had one meeting and have others scheduled where we're going to talk with them about kind of reinvigorating their mission such that they can support biotech companies once again, where those companies can come together, house together, have support, have marketing, which allows them to exchange ideas among themselves, but also attract prospective funders, impact investors, and others who will now be able to look at all of them since they're all together and it's much more efficient to evaluate them. So they then will have a greater opportunity to secure capital funding as they seek to address medical issues. And of course, there are significant externalities here as well because the Illinois Medical District on the west side now will see an influx of employment and economic development by virtue of having all of these businesses now come back and be re-energized. So those are a couple of the folks. And the two PhDs, by the way, are Mark Weber and Roy Wesley, the owners of Firmalogic. Mm-hmm. And I think that their testimony proved very valuable to the commission as it continues to work with the Illinois Medical District. Then in addition to that, we've had some conversations with the port, the International Port, which is in Chicago, underutilized, and we're looking at the port as a way that we might add value to its economic rebirth so that it can drive mm-hmm. economic development within the Great Lakes region, but also develop jobs and have other positive social impact at the adjoining communities to the port, which are among those most economically distressed. So we're looking at public assets, private assets, nonprofits, academia, and all of the other players within the county as we pursue our mission.
Okay, so I've got time for one more question for you, and that is, what are some of the lessons you've learned along the way, the good, the bad, the ugly?
Yeah, well, I guess the lesson that I've learned and perhaps relearned is that when you invite some of the most talented people in the county to come and help pro bono and work together with other like-minded people to drive positive social change, they're enthusiastically supportive of that idea and they give of themselves. Because were that not the case, none of these things would be happening or could be happening. So again, I thank you, Valerie, for being one of those outstanding people. And really, it's through the energy and commitment, enthusiasm and talent of the commissioners themselves that all these things are getting done. And I think where the population of the county will see these things taking shape over the next months and years.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoy working with the commission.
Truly a privilege to serve with you.
Okay, so we have come to the end of our show, and I'd like to thank you again, Mark, for sharing with us. I've learned a lot. I always learn a lot whenever I talk to you. So before we go, are there any parting thoughts, and can you tell us how our listening audience can get involved in this work?
Yes, that would be my parting thought. This is an all-hands-on-deck effort, and one, the commission meetings are all open to the public. The public is encouraged to attend and contribute to the work of the commission. The commission is divided among five committees based upon the assets that they deal with, whether it be public capital, intellectual capital, human capital, social capital. What am I missing, Valerie?
Oh, my goodness. Forgive me.
Forgive me. I should have put you on financial capital, human, intellectual. There are five of them anyway. Pardon me?
Right.
Public capital.
Public. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyone who would like to get involved in the work of the commission, you're invited, encouraged to do so. You could reach out to Valerie or to me. And we do post on Facebook and elsewhere our meetings. They generally take place on the third Thursday of each month. And our next meeting will be the third Thursday of January. We look forward to as many of your listeners as are able to attend and would welcome their support.
Okay, great. And again, thank you so much for being here. And
my
I'd like to thank the listening audience for being here as well. The podcast will be available within about an hour for download. I encourage you to not only download it, but share it within your network. And be sure to tune in next week for a very lively discussion on nonprofit sustainability. So take care and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.